Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 21st of the 4th month, 2026. It is a Tuesday evening and it is 5 minutes past the hour of 9. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking about when is it an appropriate time to move on from a relationship? Like, when are you done and when can you? And yeah, we're talking about that one. Now, the reason that I'm talking about that one is because, vele, many of us, we either jump ship too quickly or we get entangled in many, many things quickly, or we give ourselves too long of a break and this break becomes permanent. Now, this break becoming permanent, are all the aunties that you are checking, eh? Has been single ever since their 2 children, and that is forever now. And after that, she just didn't want a man. She didn't want a relationship. She didn't want nothing anymore. And I would hate for us to end up like that, toch. Eh? I want us most now to be in love, and I want us to be together with other people, playing nice with other people. You know, the opposite chain, that to play nice.
Get more for less at Voerman Brock. Like a 2 kg bag of nice rice for just $32.99. 100 gram Nescafe Rick Coffee, now only $29.99. A 2 liter Coca-Cola for a sweet $21.99. And 2 kg Surf hand wash powder, now just $49.99. See more mid-month deals at voermanbrock.com. We care.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Esira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere okuvuro kara uwasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi ithana Basic Mental Health First Aid Course. Haiga njua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo, nakene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugo petameko igena cha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano gopama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo ngene una okuya kwathena nokuya pa eabidhidho yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na ngene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na epango na maradura thano odovina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth $1,000, simply buy a 1 kg or 2 kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 22442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
What's a good evening to you? I'm back. I'm dope and I'm back at it. All right. So today we're talking about the signs that you can now move on, or the signs that you cannot move on, or you can't get to the other side yet. So endings in anything, except now bad things, right? Like kapunashikukutuyashikuru. You know, that one we understand that the ending, we are very happy for shikukutushahulane. We are very grateful for that one. But what about the castles we build in the sky for ourselves? What about the tomorrows we wanted to see? What about the friendships that we wanted to have? What about the long-term relationships that we wanted to keep? What about the jobs we wanted to keep? So we are talking about the ending, right? And how we know that we are now ready and capable of actually moving on from the ending, no matter how painful it was. So part of endings, right? We can talk about relationships. We can talk about friendships. We can talk about employment, and we can talk about death as well under this same umbrella, because it is an end. It is an end to a life. It is an end to it's an end to ends meet. It is an end to a friendship. It's an end to an era. It's an end to from the perspective of romance. And also, when we talk about endings, we can also talk about the silent deaths of our old selves and us emerging into new people. Now, this version of us is not always a version that we embrace immediately. It's not even a version that we might be able to pinpoint off the bat, but it is a version of us nonetheless. Because if you ask yourself, if you are the same right now as you were 10 years ago, or as you were 5 years ago, you would say no. For those that say that, no, I'm exactly the same, then chummy, you are not evolving. Chummy, you are not, you are not growing, ne? Because change is part of growth, because you can't be fitting in the same shoes. You can't be fitting in the same clothes. You cannot have the same style. You are evolving, right? Human beings evolve. And you would most probably say yes. And the follow-up question to that would be, when was the day that you changed? Or when was the day that this new version of you was birthed? Or when was it that you realized that you are no longer the same? Now, realization and being in the moment are two completely different things, because you can be walking around with the thought of being the same, and then you realize this, but it doesn't mean that that is exactly the day that you changed, or the day that you moved on from your previous self. If we're talking about self in the concept of a relationship with self, then you wouldn't know exactly when it was that you left that old version of you behind, because it is difficult for us to pinpoint exactly which behavior, which mannerism, which look, which demeanor, which tone made us flip the switch. You understand what I'm saying? So with that one, it is one of those things where you sit quietly and you realize that, hey, but me as the matriarch, I've changed. I've evolved. I'm not the person that I was 5 years ago. I'm not the person that I was 10 years ago. I am not the person that I was in my early 20s. And I am definitely not going to be this person in my early 40s. You understand? I understand that one. But how do you know that you are now able and capable of moving forward? And this is a very important question, because there are those that actually don't move. There are those that don't evolve. There are those that have the same behavior, the same mannerism, the same hustle, the same everything, with slight changes, but not significant changes, not life-changing changes, within them, and they just stay the same. So, for example, your 22-year-old best friend. So you guys are best friends ever since you guys were 19, and then they just stopped evolving at 22. Now, at 22, they still want to go clubbing, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to go clubbing, but when this is all you want to do, as if the world is not moving, as if your peers are not moving, as if you don't want anything more for yourself than just partying and just girls and just, and is drugs, it's alcohol, it's a lifestyle. Now, I would say that those types of people, they haven't really evolved, or they haven't reached the threshold in which they can now flip the switch and morph into something else, or morph into a version of them that is better, a version of him, of them that we would like to sit around a round table with, a version of them that we can now look at with pride and with joy. It would be that kind of friend that now embarrasses you in conversations.
Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security and the core of our economy. Join various leaders and industry stakeholders at the 3rd Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, NICSC 2026, taking place from the 22nd to the 24th of April at Arabush Travelodge in Windhoek. Corporate early bird registrations close on the 31st of March. So register now at dstech.com.na. NICSC 2026, securing Africa's digital future.
Alrighty, hello. If you have just joined us, this is Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch. In case you were wondering, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. We're talking about when is the right time to move on? When do you think it's an appropriate time to move on? Now, if we are talking about you moving on in a sense of growth, in a sense of evolving as a human being, as a man, as a woman, as a 30-year-old, as whatever dynamics in which you want to see yourself evolving, even as a parent, you know, we can look at this from a very broad perspective. And this perspective in itself, we are basically boxing everything into the same principles, because these principles are the ones that set the tone for the rest of our lives. These principles are the ones that give us the pathway to becoming. Good evening, a better version. Hello.
Good evening, Matriarch.
Good evening, Tatibwana. How are you doing? Opondili.
Meme.
Amandaya ndikonji fakushata nawa. Shata no kwari ekwe tenge mo greba mo nawa.
Woo!
Oh, mona ngo o mkwaita wina kofa ka?
Meni ya kofa.
Ya kofa.
Mimi nange wa oeta la kala la kwa kukupia nebo.
Alambala leke. Waliku kanduka nge, waliku kanduka nge ika?
Ai, kakereka shi okuna kalari yako, okuna kutale, kutale la.
Okuna kutale la, nga konja man. I died for this country.
Amen.
Shilongo te shimilashi.
Shilongo te shimila.
Te shimila, oh. Aye. Nando kumbire ngo apaka time ama ndafika ama ndati apu. Tutikile apu. Andike abo mavi. O mavi apu. Tueni. Oh, koshike shida kukaramo na hange. No tuwanzika kwa pepe nande.
Kukuta.
Kukuta ka pela nyoko mpaka.
Kukuta.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be discouraged.
My dear, keep going. Yeah.
Oh, tu rombura shatana, tendere.
Kucha, Kucha, never forever, my dear. Come, hello, high water, sir. Oh. Anongere shike, aye.
Oh, we are going to pray and fast.
My dear. Oh.
How have you been, man?
I've been okay, Tatibwana. How have you been?
No, we thank God. We are trying to grow.
My dear. Trying to change.
It's also very difficult to, you know, to really pinpoint out that yes, you are growing.
It's true.
But through assessment, Sometimes you see, even when you are engaging in issues and things like that in many activities,
Now which part of the assessment did you realize kuti hayo kunoka different?
Hai ngashingone meme todi apo.
Mhm.
Unisho mafimbo, oh, this guy has made a mistake. Oh.
Mhm.
Sorry. So just watching.
Kuti oh, this guy.
So yes, there are notable areas.
Mhm.
Where one can really notice that, yes, in this area.
Mhm.
Especially where one is making progress, sometimes you are also thinking of yourself.
Yeah.
Am I really the one who is now doing this thing? So, but you know, in issues of academic and social life.
Yeah.
So one is also able to, you know, how do you do it now? To navigate your way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so especially when it comes to academic, it's also a combination of issues, mommy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not necessarily just confine it to academic or social life.
Mm-hmm.
So many other issues are cropping in.
Mm-hmm.
That are in life, you know, at least even the way you know, at least God is also helping us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we also tune on our spiritual life, like you are saying, the devil has been trying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying in every corner. Everyone is susceptible to that kind of a thing.
That guy is busy.
But the fact that God is sustaining us and we are also giving you the energy to sustain yourself, I think we are making progress.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in that area, I can see some improvement.
Mm.
Not maybe, especially when it comes to learning and teaching.
Mm.
I'm also discovering some kind of other areas where at least I'm making progress.
I can tell you one area that you make progress, that you have made progress in the 5 years that we have been here together.
Oh,
you are very patient. You have learned how to be patient, and your temper is no longer tempering.
Exactly.
That one is now real progress. The Tatebwana we started with and the Tatebwana now are two different people. Why you handuka man?
I really love this quality.
You know?
A big person, a big tolerant.
And patient.
So for you, you are a counselor, you know, psychological counselor, you know how to assist.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you are not only in the psychological counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So I have discovered that sometimes when it comes to this value judgment, your skill, your expertise is well balanced.
Mm.
That is my assessment.
Mm. Thank you so much.
So you can really hammer us on the psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine, all these days I've not been laughing. I've never laughed like this.
All these days of Tamwenenyala, Munosa.
Is that not a benefit of going to my life?
It's a benefit.
In that area, so we are really making progress. Mm. We have assessed it very well.
Yeah.
And I think I have been transformed in that particular area.
Yes.
And also many, many other areas.
Mm.
Especially when you always say, yes, come water, come what?
Come hell, come high waters. My dear.
That's a shrammon, you man.
Nando basi kikoneta ningi nyanyuaj na ningaro minsa.
I hope that kind of the consulting. That kind of platform where people are coming, your clients are coming. When they come just laughing, you know, that is a greatest healing.
It is. I think also one of the greatest healings that we can find is the position to being in a position to actually laugh at our shortcomings. Yes, when we can laugh when we blundered, when we can laugh where we were resilient, when we can laugh about things that were tragic, but now we see them in a different light. Because Oshima shikara shinene shauri mondishi. Shawe shithiki pongwe tati kucha. Ndame winya nditondoka na zupaka. No problem. Thank you so much, Tatebi.
Okay, now God bless.
God bless. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about having moved on from something. And moving on from something is not always necessarily a relationship. It could also just be your emotional moving on from something in terms of growth, in terms of partnerships, in terms of age, in terms of class, in terms of behavior, in terms of anything. So how do we know that we have officially moved on from a specific thing, or we have moved on from a breakup, or we are ready to move on from a breakup? What are these signs? So sign number one, today we're going to start with sign number one. Sign number one is neutrality. Get that? Neutrality. So for the manual drivers out there, and you don't want to understand this one, it is neutral. So, when you are in neutral, you are almost not in any gear. Chomi! The way I'm talking about Okuhinga, ne? You know, ne, I'm a passenger. Nde, Oshimasho, no, ne? It's eating me up so much that I even dream about driving. Now, to just go and just start and just do everything, it's most not a big deal. Mara, I told you. Darren Dreamer Grepper. So we're talking about neutrality, right? And we're talking about not being in any gear. So when the car is in neutral, when the gear is in neutral, it is flexible. It can move around. You understand? It's like, and unlike it being in gear one or gear two or gear whatever. So neutrality, if we're talking about relationships, when we come to neutrality, your ex no longer triggers strong emotional reactions such as pain, annoyance, sadness, rage, and nothing, resentment, nothing. So when you are in this space, right, and you are looking for signs to say like, okay, but I want to figure out matriarch if I'm ready to move on. Now I would ask you a question as, well, how do you feel about your previous? Or for example, if we are not only talking about romantic relationships, we're talking about, for example, employment. I would ask you, how do you feel about your previous employment? What do you feel about it? Now, if you have a lot to say, if you have a lot of emotions about your previous employment, then Chomi, you are most probably not ready to move on. You're most probably the type of person that's going to go into a different company and not even listen to the principles of this new company because you're so hell-bent on the past. You're so stuck in how your old company used to do it. So, for example, you go and work at Wara Wara Media House. And you are most now bitter about Eagle FM, right? You are bitter, you are what. So when you go there, you're like, yeah, no, we at Eagle FM, we used to do it like this. Yeah, we at Eagle FM, and we at Eagle FM, and Eagle FM, Eagle. You keep talking about Eagle FM, ne? But you're not there anymore. So who's that? That means you're not over it. That means you are not, you're not, you have not moved on. And it's the same as an ex. For example, when somebody talks about them, then you get this pit in your stomach, or you get this feeling in your soul, or you feel irritable or something.
Efiloshisho otalikulandula kona vewayuk. Ekwashilipalekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. Oatupateleko meshwe kwashilipalekolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filo shisholo paulumo mumbu. Kwa avoveli ponjeo shilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule ominute edishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo Shilong, Emangono Malandula Fano, Odo Dino Kulandurwa, NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Alrighty, good evening to you. If you have just joined us, this is Pulling Heartstrings. So now the number in studio is 083-2-888-401. That is 083-2-888-401. In case you would like to buzz us up and contribute to the conversation. So, are you ready to move on? When you no longer feel intense daily longing for your ex or for the whatever that has hurt you, right? You can think about it in a neutral extent and be excited about your own life again. That's how you know that, yeah, I'm ready to move on. So key number one is neutrality. It no longer bothers you. Nothing about whatever it is that hurt you bothers you anymore. So it doesn't bring up bad emotions. It doesn't bring up pain. It doesn't bring up rage. It doesn't bring up sadness, irritability, annoyance. Not unless people do have a tendency of trying to torokana you constantly. So they might bring up something that you don't want to talk about. They might bring it to the surface just to mess with you, or they like it when you are in pain. So, let's say now you guys share a friend, and this friend is constantly, every time they see you, they want to talk about this other person. And that is most now intentional. That is most somebody that is trying to poke at it, like just to poke at it, like, oh, get it. Like, yeah, then those are the people that you need to cut off. But who am I? I'm just a lady in the radio. Just show me. And number two, no comparison. Who? You see where I was telling you, Kucha, hey, you come from Eagle FM, then you go and work at Wara Wara Media House. And then when you're at Wara Wara Media House, ne, you're just comparing Wara Wara Media House and Eagle FM, Wara Wara Media House and Eagle FM. It's just a game of comparisons. Show me you're not over us. You're not over us. What is that? You kept the fire burning. We're living rent-free in your heart, Chomi, and you don't even know it. And kept hope alive. And when my soul was hurt, you helped me to survive. You encouraged me to take that leap of faith. You know, Nam? When I miss my weekend shows, Nam, I feel very bad because that's my 1 week. But that's my dose of music per week. So, but yeah, you know, we made it. We made it. We made it. Okay. Anyways, so no comparison. That's rule number two, right? This is how you know, Gucha. You are ready to move on. You are ready to let things go. You are ready to be whoever you want to be. Ne? You are ready now. No comparison. You stop comparing new potential to past potentials. We call them potential still, because they didn't materialize, Chome. So you were in love with someone's potential. You liked someone's potential. You liked the potential of whatever that was happening there. So you keep comparing. So comparison would be like you have a new girlfriend and every day you are comparing the two. Yeah, but Sylvia never used to. Sylvia was not like this man. Like that's how you know. Those are red flags. You know, it's weird that, in our journeys of love, right? We don't want to be compared, but when comparison is done, we eat it up. We eat it up like there's no tomorrow. We hold on to it like there's no tomorrow. And yet we say we don't like to be compared. Now, when you meet somebody new and you guys start talking, you talk and you talk and you talk, and in most cases, everything comes onto the table. So what happened? You know, what happened with your previous partner? And then you start talking. Or what happened at your previous job? Or what happened before you changed? You know, what happened to the version of you that you discarded or you left behind to become this new version? What happened? And in many cases, we stick around with comparison. We say things like, oh, the previous version of me would never be sitting still like this. Get on that. Eh? Yo, the version of me would never. Eh? The version of me would never. But I believe that in most cases, when we talk about dead versions of ourselves, I feel that we don't give the dead versions of ourselves enough grace for being who they were in that time. We don't give them enough acknowledgement. We don't give them enough praise for doing the best that they could under the circumstances in which they were given. We often make it seem like our whole entire lives prior to us becoming these people was a complete mistake, but it couldn't have been a mistake because there's so much that we learned and so much that we achieved. And even if we came to a part of our lives where we had now lost everything, we are still in a position of learning. And as long as we're still here, as long as we're still breathing and kicking, as long as the sun is still shining on us tomorrow, we have an opportunity. So even if we are talking about, for example, drunk versions of ourselves or alcoholic versions of ourselves or addict versions of ourselves, right? When we talk about these versions of ourselves, I think that it is important to tell the entire truth. And the entire truth is you speaking without omission. And I believe that when we speak without omission, we can also live in the fact that not everything was bad, and when it was bad, but there are still beautiful moments that we took from it. Right? Now hear me out. You might be thinking like, yo, matriarch, I was that homeless living under a bridge. Like, I was homeless living under a bridge. Like, what nice thing can I take from that? One nice thing you can take from being homeless and living under a bridge because of the choices that you had made for your life, right, is that you had learned how to share little, right? Because this is camaraderie that we're talking about. You have learned how to, there are good things that you have learned, even in difficult situations. There are good things. And this is the same with relationships. We have a tendency of painting every failed relationship as terrible, but it wasn't all terrible. Because if it was terrible, you wouldn't have been there. If it was terrible, you wouldn't have been there for so long. That means it wasn't all bad. It's just that it's a defense mechanism that we put up so that we don't show our little hearts and we don't show our little souls and we don't show our compassion. We don't show, which I don't know what I was thinking. Honey, you were in love. Full stop. Like, what do you mean you don't know what you were thinking? And this happens a lot with people, right? Where you were in a relationship with somebody, especially with people that have children together. And these people, because, these people pinpoint each other, make each other seem like trash, right? When the relationship is not going well and the co-parenting is not going well. They make each other seem like trash. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. That guy is even ugly. And that guy is not even, can they get a direction in his life? Tell me, but why are you not talking about the fact that you loved the idea of the things that he wanted to do for himself in the future? We don't talk about that because there's a level of shame that comes with being with something that is not going to materialize. And this is a shame that we put on ourselves. It's a shame that we live in. And it's not projection. It's not a non-reciprocated. It's just our shame that we live in. And this shame that we live in is the same shame that makes us want to be sitting in an environment where we are being compared and we are comparing others. And put up your finger if you have never been in a situation where you have been compared to a previous and you were happy. Put up your hands if you were not happy. That you were better. All of us want to be better. So put your hand down. Huh? You are putting your hand up for who? Put your hand down. You liked it. You liked being compared to someone and you were better. Oh, you are a better driver than Samuel. Like, oh, Samuel doesn't drive like this. The guy is driving on two tires now. Wow. Exactly. We have all been in a position of being compared to somebody that was there prior to us. Right? Anyway, that was there prior to us and we liked it. And it doesn't only happen in relationships. It happens at jobs. It happens in almost every single setting of life where you are tasked to fill shoes of your pre-successor. Or is it your pre-successor? The one before you are. Yes, you are tasked to fill those shoes and they speak about the other one. And when they speak about the other one, there is always some negativity. And there is some negativity because the person is no longer there. Or sometimes, right, if the person was immaculate, we will speak of that other person like you don't exist. So you make a mistake at work and we're like, oh, if Eagle was here, you know, these papers would have been already done. Oh, if Eagle was here, then this mountain would have moved. Oh, if Eagle was here, Eagle was such a great employee. Eagle was such the best. Oh, Eagle. And you are sitting in that space and you are like, yo, can I ever fill the shoes of Eagle? And this is the position where, or this is the part of the conversation where I ask you that if your presence was positive, would you still feel the same? If your presence was positive, if the comparison was positive, would you still feel the same? You only feel bad about comparison when you are failing, when you are the one that is being compared and you are not doing good. Right? So when they say, for example, oh, if Eagle was here, those papers would just be sitting there for 6 months, my dear. You are so much faster than Eagle. Shiri, it gives you a little chip on your shoulder. It makes you feel nice. It makes you feel mnandi. It makes you feel useful. It makes you feel great. You might not say it. You might not think it. You might not feel it at the time, but that is something that's going to fuel you. But then that's something that we have to cut from the beginning. All of us are filled with comparison, every single one of us. All of us are filled with comparison, not unless something is the very first time and you have nothing to compare it with. I concur. If you have nothing to compare it with, then you will not compare it, except listen to other people's comparisons and maybe pick out a thing or two. But as long as you have no experience in something, you don't have anything to compare it to. And that experience in itself is the one that blindsides us in so many areas. And that is why not all of us can grow out of situations. Not all of us can grow into the new roles in which we are supposed to fill, because we are stuck in a life where comparison slowly eats up at our confidence.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-31-91-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
All right. How are you? How are you doing? Yeah, the beloved comparer. So when we are not comparing anymore, that's when we know which... We are ready. We are ready to move on from this painful chapter. So when you are entering into a relationship and you don't expect anything except like just being there, that's when you know, like, you know, I think I'm ready. I know I'm ready to give you all my love. I might be young, but I'm ready. My singer, we will sing, and we will sing. Come hello high water, we will sing. Oh, we fought for this country, we died for this country, we will sing. Oh. Anyways, so that's how you know that, okay, so maybe, just maybe. And also, I would like for you guys to pause a minute, and to look at conversations that you guys have had, especially romantic settings and friendship settings, because romantic and friendship settings, the only difference is that you guys are coitusing each other in one, and here you are not coitusing each other. That's the only difference. But relationships and friendships take the same work. They take the same effort. You guys are talking, you guys are getting to know each other, you guys are chilling. The same things that you guys are doing in romantic relationships are the same things that you guys are doing in friendships without romance. So when we look at comparison, we're trying to paint the picture of how you would know that you are definitely over something and you can now move on with your life, right? When you are neutral, so when somebody speaks about something, it doesn't trigger you as much anymore. So for example, if I had to put it in something very, very harsh, I would say that, your mom passes away and people talk about your mom and it no longer brings tears to your eyes. That's how you know, like, okay, I'm healing. And those kinds of wounds are long wounds and they take a while. And sometimes they open themselves. Wounds of death. Sometimes they open themselves and then you ooze and then you bleed. And then tomorrow it dries up and then you try again. And those are the wounds of death. But when you come to a point where you can now talk about somebody that had passed on and you're not angry, you are not sad, you are past all dangerous emotions and you can sit and you can listen and you can be like, you know, that's when you know that you're getting there. And then also, if we're talking about comparison, and you, comparison would be in the event of somebody's passing, right? A parent's passing or a friend or a lover, somebody's passing, right? Comparison would be, how would my life look like if they were still around? When you pass that threshold, then you know that you're on the right journey and you are healing. And there are certain people that I don't think it's that we can't. I think that sometimes pain is all we have left of this person, so we hold on to the pain. Let me break it down for you. So, for example, your mom passed away when you were relatively young. Let's say 5 years old, 6 years old, let's say 4 years old. And at this time, there was nothing tangible that your mom could have possibly left behind. The memories that you have of your parent are not enough. They're not clear. They're not vivid. And secondly, the stories that you have heard of your parent are not always there, right? So as you grow, memories of her start to fade. Memories of her scent start to fade. Everything about her starts to fade. And then all you have left is a name and emotion, right? Is a name and sadness. And this sadness, now this sadness is usually triggered by many things, because I also know people in the very same situation, but they react to the death of the parent differently. And then somebody else reacts to it differently. But it is basically the same thing, where they lost their parent or their primary caretaker, their primary parent, very young. One was adopted and taken in and loved and given the world and more. And then there was one that had to fend for themselves and one that had to basically scrummage through life. So these two have the same story, but their stories after their parents' death are completely different. Now, this one, on the other hand, the one that has lived well, can have no recollection or no longing or no missing of their parent at all. And then this one that had suffered can have an idea or an imagination of how life would be with her parent around. And then also it can be vice versa. It could be that the child that had been adopted had a good life, still longed for their mother because their mother is so important and their mother is what. And then the one that that didn't get adopted could have no emotions whatsoever towards their mother's passing. Like, life is so wild and life is so twisted that you can't say that this is exactly how human beings take anything or live by anything. You can't. You can't. You just have to sit. You have to listen. You have to take it. And in this, that's why we say, like, the art of comparison, right? If my mom was here, like, yeah, but you have a mother. So the comparison would come in a sense of, yeah, but you behave like that because you have parents. I don't have any parents. That's why I can behave like this. Or you live your life like this, but I have parents, and that's why I can't live my life like that. It's comparison. We compare in every single area of our lives, and so many times we don't actually see it. We don't see when we are comparing. We don't see when we are being compared. We don't see any of it. But I would like to believe that all of us are comparing. Not unless you know how to keep your mouth shut. If you know how to keep your mouth shut, then in most cases you would compare things in your head and not outside with your mouth. And part of the big comparisons are the comparisons of the exes. when somebody tells you something like, I've never been in a relationship where somebody holds me down the way you hold me down, you know? And for you, that could be gratitude. You could be looking at that and seeing gratitude. You could be seeing acknowledgement and validation of your character. You can be seeing, you can be seeing yourself finally put on the pedestal that you deserve to be put on because you had been this person and nobody had ever seen this version of you or had acknowledged this version of you. But in the true sense of it, this is comparison because right now what is going to happen is that you're going to keep showing out. You're going to keep showing that you can hold a dude down. You can hold a nigga down. You're going to keep showing up, right? Even at your own expense. Because you had been compared and you had been the winner in the comparison, right? And you want to remain the winner. So now your mind starts running on this little race. It's like a hamster. You start running on this little race and this little race is running because now you seeking for validation and especially if you come from an environment where nobody really acknowledges the things that you bring forward or they don't acknowledge it in the way that you want them to acknowledge it, then yes, you will fall prey of this. You'll fall prey of the comparison monster because you are winning in the comparison. It only sucks when you are not winning in the comparison. And part of the not winning in the comparison, right, is, for example, you and a partner dearest are having an argument. You guys are having an argument and please don't mind my topitha. My topitha is vanier ek lekker kry, hè? Dan, sorry. Sorry, I can hear myself topitharing, but anyhow, anywho. So, for example, if you are in a relationship and there is a sense of toxicity that is bubbling underneath the relationship and it's coming to surface slowly, part of the dilemmas that you might face in a relationship of this nature is that comparison will start to creep in. And these comparisons are usually made with prior lovers, right? That is why men find it offensive, right? When women do it and women pretend that it didn't bother them. So, That's what happens with comparison. Because if I tell you that, oh my goodness, so you live in a dirty place like this, Matthew would never live in a dirty place like this. Then it's like, yeah, but I'm not Matthew, you know? You see guys, like, yeah, but I'm not Matthew. But it did sting, right? It stung. And then we come up with the comparison from men to women, for example. And they would say things like, during an argument, the conversation of, yeah, you know what? I'll just go back to Elizabeth. Like, I can't deal with this. Like, you are nonsense. I can't deal with this. I'm going back to Elizabeth because it implies that the nonsense that you are speaking here, no matter how right you are, is nonsense that I cannot tolerate. And it's nonsense that Elizabeth would never bring to the table. And that is why I think that it's better for me to go back to Elizabeth because now I'm comparing you and Elizabeth. So you see how men take the comparison and how women take the comparison. So for example, you are in a dirty room and I say, I would say that Matthew would never live in a place like this. It is filthy. And you say, yeah, but I'm not Matthew because men have these, like, yeah, just go back to Matthew then. Like, yeah, go back to Matthew because you're comparing me. But truth is, this little seed that I plant as a woman, I plant, right? This would make me now look at you different. Yeah. For men, it makes you look at women differently. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think that I should put my whole heart in this one. I don't think I should put all my eggs in this basket. And that is why I keep saying to women, like, you don't do that. Like, men are fragile. You're just supposed to be like, whoa. Just say, I don't like messy places. Don't bring up somebody else's name. Men are sensitive creatures, okay? And then for women, when somebody says like, oh yeah, Samantha would never live in a dirty place like this. I'm telling you, you are going to break yourself up saying that, yeah, you are even going to start cleaning and you're going to do everything possible because Vele.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi finawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty. I'm so sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen, but we were caught on the crash. So we're talking about how you know, ne, kuchavele, you've moved on and you are nice, you are umnandi. So we talk about neutrality, we talked about, no comparison. And with the comparison one, I wanted to spend a little bit more time on it because not everybody understands that hella manche, right now, we are being compared, eh? Right now, this is a comparison, especially if we are winning in the battle of comparison. If we are the ones that are better, then we don't mind comparison. If our parents ever said that, oh my God, I'm so glad you're not like those children from where, like we would never have a problem with comparison. Ever. But the reason that we have a problem with comparison is because our parents say things like, why aren't you like the children from where? Like, because we don't fit the bill, you know? And that is why we miss it when partners do it or when friends do it. That's why we miss it. We miss it because it doesn't sound the way our parents made it, right? And then number three is independence. You are enjoying life, hobbies, and friends on your own rather than constantly thinking about the past. And this means that you are now having a life. You are now doing the things that you like to do. You are learning new things and you're just really enjoying yourself. And this is how you know, which, I think I'm okay. I think I'm going to be okay. Hey, matriarch. Hey, I think I'm going to be okay. And then number four is a self-focus. You are excited about your future and focusing on your own personal growth. This is very important. You are excited about your own future and focusing on your own personal goals. Now, your own personal goals are like driving, and anything else. So these are the few things. These are the few signs that we can cover up for now. And this is neutrality, no comparison, independence, and self-focus. So these are the first elements of the signs that we are. We're getting better. We're moving on. Yeah. So I wanted us to jump into the psychology of mothers because we don't really talk about, we talk about daddy wounds. We talk about dads a lot. We talk about their impact. We talk about the lack thereof a lot. But did you know that your mom has a big impact on you regardless? Whether she was there or she was not there, because we like to play that thing off. Good evening.
Okay.
Today we're talking about how will you know that you have moved on from something, from anything. It could be relationship, it could be work, it could be life, it could be political party. It could be country.
Oh, I ain't got
political party.
Until death do us apart. So, I need to go on. I see you, man. Be at no one, but I can't get it. There's nothing perfect.
Yeah.
Just perfect where you are. That's it. Gawafara, wait, if we are the Amara and the Tura Massimi Kosoma. Kosoma?
Chili shit.
Maybe you don't get that to some man. Yeah, those are me. Oh, life, I take a figure. Wait, do you see, Pono? Hey.
There is nothing.
It's like apparently you want to run away from the problem. No. Problem will be always there. Running away. You are dead. No problem. Abe ano kusi ko no problem. You already know when you get there.
It's true. Yeah. And then when you get there, you know which one. Who na ne? Okay.
Guys, the only thing that I learned, and they are buying me, I'm going to just see life about moment. Not living the past, not living the what, the future.
Me, I didn't understand. That whether you spend a long time without speaking to me, now your English is very broken. You said what? You spend a long time not speaking to me. Now your English is very broken. Hashonda kusigilenge. You said Lily what?
I said that.
Shitakuma. Shitakuma, shitakum. Kunangeto kaze ukangeto practice ngo shingirisa.
Oh, andonga tuti o shingirisa kandi shishine.
Aha we, pe ni kuvara delele. O apo piara wa fara mkwetu ngwe ya delaying is learning heavily. Ndati,
Dara, just that me I don't care about the English. Whether you think it perfect or not. It's not my language.
But we must still understand each other, Chomi.
you have to find your way to understand
me. So, I must put two and two together.
Yes.
Okay.
For me, if a ngerando otete o shindonga, then I said, ano bosongi nya,
But if it's anything else, my dear, bear with me.
If it's anything to do with English, I know. I don't care whether I'm perfect or not. It's in my English. Just find your feet within my English.
Come, my dear, find your balance.
Find your balance. So if you cannot...
Try your best, my dear.
If you cannot find... English within my English.
Mm.
It's not my problem. In fact, I don't care. Whether I said it perfect or not.
Ah, shilly.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Let's just sometimes appreciate the moment.
Yeah.
Than the past or the future.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Because life is still about the moment. Mm. Right? So, just make a decision there.
Yeah.
You move.
Yeah, on. We move on.
When you try to think about the history will...
Just hold on, Tate Kwedi.
Get more for less at Vurman Brock. Like a 2kg bag of nice rice for just 32.99. 100 gram Nescafe Rick Coffee, now only 29.99. A 2 liter Coca-Cola for a sweet 21.99. And 2kg Surf hand wash powder, now just 49.99. See more mid-month deals at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch and Tate Kwedi. Tate Kwedi, quickly listen.
That the water strips the copper depots into the water bodies. And it's the same water body that is used as drinking water. Mr. Speaker, I think this is a disaster that it could cause an extinction of our entire community. As a matter of emergency.
Point of procedure.
Because the English that is trying to put this matter here is confusing a number of us and making us miss a very serious issue that is affecting very many people, even in the countryside. I'm straining myself to understand him, and yet he's saying a very serious issue. And Mr. Speaker, next time Mr. Atkins is supposed to present, he needs to speak the common English of Uganda. We are tired of this, you know.
The water bodies! What is a very serious issue, but we are failing to understand him, man. He must speak the common English of Uganda.
The
water bodies!
No problem.
But the top of no confidence, eh? He's even moving.
Yeah.
The water bodies. You're like, eh? Water bodies.
My problem is not in this. You know, when I was in school.
Yeah.
I write English because I want to pass.
Yeah.
But after I pass.
And leave it behind. You don't go and say that is a synonym. No. We left it.
You write.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Actually, at 2 stages, you were giving any combat that for you did.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Now, I'm so talking. But the only point is that I have the energy and carrying of English at university. Guys, energy and carrying of English. Wait a minute. You want to tell me, Mara, she's a new content language. Well, I'm going to talk with you. You know, sometimes, man. I end up with no Katrina Mamsaga. Sometimes you can name the AGP Chatamos. Oh, you write your things proper. Go to Turano Kuri, go to Bichata, making a show which everything is
everything
proper.
Is in order.
Natango to Alicia Takashi and that. No, Mama, I don't know.
Which I Nandoke and Pulane Kutcha Mosamari with a tingini co paragraph 4, Naimono Taiko Akaleshe. Which
I go to 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 go to
Kucha, no, 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 not like this.
So correcting them when we are
that.
And then Chara made it. In fact, who are you?
Mm.
So correcting them when we are that name. That's okay. Yeah, and you may have that. I say problem. I don't care. You see? Yeah, that's and don't do a thing here with you. Ah, yeah. Change and no content. O content, it is change. O told an anus in Greece.
Mm.
O patro, you know what to do. Look, I'm saying he had two popitifa.
Mm.
You don't speak the same.
Mm.
Even if you are communicating the same thing.
Mm.
Now, you want me to speak the way you speak.
Yeah.
So, that's it. A problem.
Which I to correcting. I'm going to like a which
I'm going to And like a teacher, but you know we are Catholic Mukara, sir. We are not a school.
This is not school. You understand what I'm saying, Mos? Finish. This is not a grammar contest.
I don't know. We mango to simigate to the. I understand the story.
Yeah.
You're perfecting. To saving a symbol.
Keep in mind I am Mendonga, so take it from Mendonga perspective.
I want to talk to you. Look, where the kuchas in Murimongi. No, Tara, these are the serious issues.
Yeah.
Tara, Otoshanga.
Mm-hmm.
Badira, in this way now, the problem is Toshanga.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Yenguya gotango tachi a epano no kuning up a shiske. Yotashi sunak. Gotoka tinguru rombatis. Natang, the sanga, tasipo and wasuka pangui. Natang gotamon fuko. Natango toka tinguru rombatis. Again, the sanga, to correcting angestati, the faraguanguia. Natango, woman of fuko, gotopis rombatis.
But you're editing.
That didn't edit there. I never had that 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oto adane wa printingurura o mbatira rohaman before the final letter being go.
Mm-hmm.
Marangwa pefeto. Okay. Ngojo hizine ngao. Paifeta artificial intelligence ya mwge imaji pichate ya po.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just opokatu dane weni ni mambi. To save paper, to save time.
Yeah.
Oko kusapuini mambino yoske. Ye grammar fighting.
Mm.
And natango ta correcting again that it. Ta. Money problem.
Yeah.
I say go to tea. I nani. I say not to ningeninge. I say nani. Natura hatushange ni. Ko computa nga tikutu mina imera ngweto correcting. No, they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So shufeteti inima. It's just a personal issue kucha. I'm your boss, I have to correct you.
Yeah.
And dina kumani fuko mwashwasha.
In everything.
And you know, katurimu kasa man. We are not at school. It's not Oshi mashono kucha. Ondino kumone puko. Masho ashanga sashi. Mbitovuru kushango shima. Still perfect than me because I'm your boss.
Yeah.
Just imagine me those mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
Omba piro la jepa, esimbo ya jepa.
Mm-hmm.
Patodane ya no grama.
Exactly.
What do you go? Mm-hmm. God, that was the name of Moshuambo. Aye, aye. Oh, she could be talking about. What the
hell?
Yeah. I say, open number, which I. Woman on to that. Okay. simbali mungo to shangane.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly nga she kore.
Mm-hmm.
Ma natar boti kore tinga mwene rati.
Oh. Anoite.
Ay! E konde nda simbali me ne speshi na ziburuku ya. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Nga she ya ringe.
Yeah.
O environment ha she yenende kuche kucha. Ah no. Liko ku. Jinazi kwa suwa kopo, hape sinyinone ndoko katima.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same scenario. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
That is the same exactly nga shishi. Ngoto shifarako.
Mm-hmm.
Shi janga shishi risha isha saima ya janga. Ah, eh, tomo nisha katangana tango ki correctinga nati. Au!
Kucha, ae. Katango kalulu, bra.
Aiko ki correctinga. Shosho tomo nukucha, tara, kakun, ta, itsepe. Like, you want to make sure, kucha, no, ah, no, you are the boss, you must find the mistake.
Of course, because I'm smarter.
Mara, o ti correcting angwe mwene?
Mm.
Sasha wa kusa neto ti, ah, angwe nga wa saina ngei, eh, o shimajini ashifa nashi. Simboli mino kane confronting ontunga.
Mm.
O mono akucha, ay, amba, okay. Tane ni problema dini hashi.
Oh, shashi yi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, English. But if I know name, most of no. Okay, let's name maybe Kucha. No, I don't care. I move over.
Mm-hmm.
On to the next one, my dear.
Yeah, next.
Next.
Maroshi mo poshiri dashipo. You just don't care about it.
Yeah.
You like, you don't take it serious.
Mm.
So, it's not a serious issue.
It's not a serious issue at all.
It's not a matter anymore.
It's not a life and death situation.
Yeah, ma shito petameko.
Mm.
Ah.
Mala tu kolondala no homos.
Yeah?
Ah, tu kolonde nyala.
Yeah.
Mm.
Myself, I find myself at a level of which I don't do. These people, they think maybe we are patching back. Yeah? It's like a patching back.
Tuli mo boxa?
Eh?
Eh, man, wait to boxa ne, ngo wasika ma to dengwa.
Mari ni manenzo no kucha, pa isi ngo to ti, no. Amo sike, o sike ne, ngere na ningo wa ushish. Oike ano, kuto hasire ko ikano na ni wiyo si janga. Eh? Kuto tashirire ko iki. Because la, process de government da, very funny. Wete ko, tashirine pomba da, wete ko.
Mm-hmm.
O incoming ote ya matayi pomba da, all the thing you get to the permanent secretary or the CEO or something.
Mm-hmm.
O idi, tayi yako. Idi otashanga ko, who, director, for your action. Eh, wa? Deputy director for your action. Wait. For your action. Like, for your action, for your king. Sigotashi apesi. Ngongwe ne, to shitameke ne. Chara wo shitameke, kegumo kuno opinion. Oh, marundu kambori. Oh, un opinion na, ngin. Popu yeho kamana kucha. Oh, kegumo tatura mo opinion. Ah, ye unakutura po kafano ka. Oh, ngotura. Ah, eh, oh, it's the same meaning.
Ashilongi swangele.
Ah, kunini mandi ya kuchanua ibobastika mos. Guarongi sasa kwa English.
Yeah.
You see?
Hmm.
Yonto datu la pano babastik. Eh, oh. Shashika kwa angu ya nana babastika kei kore yote kusapo. Yota tu la posimu. Yota. Ozo yipuro be matpagarana zume. Metangeronzo. That is, we need now to move over, to move on. With, it's like a punching bag. Kegu make an opinion. Mara, uchange, and start fighting on English. For me, I say, ah, kina kona hana singisa, kina fadishifaranga. Eji. Ningu kaya tino, mga kucha, ungo ushishi, ungo yokaronga na uskola singisa, yokaronga na singisa kwa universe.
Eh.
Karongene, karongene, o shingiri sa university, ne?
Eh, shashungo, o shi amane.
Ah, eh, indane uke shironge.
Eh, kaninge teacher.
Uwe,
Just work and do your work and get out, my dear, when retirement comes. You see it?
That's what I move. What is the question? Yeah.
You're correct, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We move over.
Yeah, we move on.
Yeah. So, shouldn't
that
be, even I have to advise other people there who are in those situations. Let's move on.
It's true.
Don't take it serious.
Don't take it too hard.
Yeah, na ngute shiningi ke shishahar.
Mm.
Ndawa ngaro correcting I mean o shi meshi shanga. Ete shipongo be nde shitashi ya ngura na tango te shipe kom. Sai. Maro ndaka mana ne kuchamba. I complained one day. You think we are punching the water. Because you are the author of the letter, that's it. When we ask these things, then I say, That we move on.
We move on.
We don't take it serious.
Yes.
Sashi, if you take it hard, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you inside slowly. Sashi, if you did not, no younger than a person for just to understand the culture. While you are there stressing, the other person also doesn't want keshikucha wakarashiki. While you are trying to find solution, you try harder to find the solution to the problem. When you find the solution and you see this is the ultimate solution now. I think I'm going to talk to the GP Jata. I'm going to talk to the artificial intelligence in terms of English. And who are you? There's nothing wrong with the grammar. There's not in my comment. Go to the thing. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I'm going to need a time to move on. When you find a good job, no. Even this person, Kisha Saha, why should you stress yourself with?
That's true.
Just do what you want.
Just do what you want, Jomi.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
There's no any other way. How to bother them.
Shit.
Because you are trying hard. Because the person who had no solution. When you bring solution, the person that did not see that this is a solution. Naike shishimos. No, I'm your boss.
Nanga, ndapungwa ukutulamo something.
Shashando toti. Ngei natura mosha. Otamu ni gafi ina arongas. Weteko. Weteko. Otamu ni gafi ina arongas. Ma problem mada izine mfono kucha. Man. Oshimoko shazi kungwe. Mangina shi hapevi. Inotura mosha. He didn't put anything. Watch out for your exit. The person down there must take action. Chicago, okay, you have an opinion. That is that. Way more of the Runga. Well, I'm not going to get about that. Yeah. So, these are the issues. It must come back to you. The whole bunch there is fighting you over English.
It's true.
Some of the English, it's not yours because people have put their English. Because for me, I have to concern with the content.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's different. So I was saying your content,
yeah. Then it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah. When you change my content, I say, that is not my letter anymore.
That is not what I'm saying.
I say, Andy,
yeah.
You must write. You must answer to what you are saying. You are not comfortable with what you are saying.
Yeah.
You want to say it through me. I say, no, there's no such a mathematics. Ngae, ki no problema. Nendando, whatever, grammar, whatever. Name shonga and this shanga. I apply my mind there. I can defend it. I can defend it. So, I know what matter, what the way.
Mother tears stubber.
What is going on there?
It's
correct.
Eh.
That is the awambos na tango otita era kucha onto belong to the family.
Yeah.
Then the family must decide.
To ningileni na kama memory ala brave. Yemu imwe imwe kelahi.
Gimi?
To ningileni na kama memory ala. Yemu imwe imwe kelahi. Enpe dili luala.
Onto nengo mwene kena kena sero simpiusha si ukunezimo. Let me tell you, on the Wapadi power.
Yeah.
A Tangeroka Naposha state is nothing. the wezimo. Ne? The ezimo ostate nge tangero ukuhanga kuno nke itserefri. Ne? Ostate kugajara etangero kugajara itserefri. To making a show kuta o victim ha inte who is the family? Oya mono justice. Dego? O dego? Ya mono justice anu kwacha ngono kucha. So hashi puro shashi tashi puro kezi mondia. Shawani fap. To appease the lost family, the victim family. You understand? O mfambambizi ni ma. O kwa apu yombi. Yo tatu pota. Paife, ngerembe o state the winning of victim. Dena wakara uche anua onto weta tuke siweta ndole pangina mbalo shiro nguna shiwa ronto tate so shosho wete nengo umana arewe aji nipo nizi paga utare nengo limenzo opotoka mwana kucha na otate kumbe akingo makshete na ambe aji mwapara mene na omeniso jeku na nyezi mwenye mkini
yeah. What's not a lale no mwinyo?
Yeah. So no, that's too long in Yara Kucha. Onto belong to the family. Gang on doing money so she ponga, the victim is the family.
Yeah.
With the go. Not that person. On die victim or victim of family. So it or family, it has to claim justice. Mara teni irumbo etu keketa iti.
Yeah.
Anu hae ontu ningo endi paga. It's a crime against the state. No. No. O crime against the state ota ya mongere, ye?
Yeah.
Gere o daringa antu udipaga anto no mena wina nenge to ito. To bomoskora. Weteko? Nenge posina gapuna tongu tune onto yontumbato ti eto dari nga kusena adikau. Tateguru. Nga one o shirongo pata si mesa si. Nga oto atakingo shirongo mas. Tashishima to shiningi yona kucha ae tika tego boma maskora nando kuri. Uite ye. Nga o shirongo netango pata digaro victim. Uite ko?
Yeah.
It's part of the victim in a holistic. Ma rangero mo ita ko zara mano maro buge ni bono ni ko shike ni mbe tu tumpe ni nombe. Wote. Tate kure tangero kena o shi tangero kena pa kali pasa. Dago on this kuro mbere. Kali na pa kali pasa nande
nandar.
Ah, ira pa tangero. Wote ko kapu ni tangero. No government.
Yeah.
Tangero kena pa kali pasa. It's not a victim. E tangero is a referee.
Yeah.
So net di ando. E tangero to ya pare to kusa punguno na kwe to shponga para mandaro. E simbo di kokoro ra ja siki. Otara ai di kokoro ra komare ngawi.
Yeah.
Nende takara mandarongo manga the two family resolving the matter.
Yeah.
Tare two family that is resolving the matter sa. Tandirongwe liye tangero kucha. No. Otasakumu. Kye tangero siyede talite. Ae. Futano beira. Tasho waka ramon dorongo holi. Huyo go. Naskena kela kela. You are paying how much. There we are talking. Ne? This. Utoka karano. Untu. A. Kero ongo bebe. And this was already ready. Orongwe korano. Water at the wrong of the Tomanget. You told them and waited for a mandor of two men. Five and way, Hosea Nekoski. You tap one obeyed and knocked up. Was we a cotume, but we, a corang, we are called Pihokora penny? Cotume. Eo. Maraki who did a possession that you require morning. October got a little happening, you can be the hair in a lipotina, she quake. She would do a come home water sooner like that. Would they go? Kukurejo sipwa. Ongo bedwa rike. Nengo dijo longo wateva how many of them. Ino mwana pota. Etangalo jimu na kuchokunonjo. Yota kura mandorongo. Yes, I'm wrong. Go on, no, boss. It's Andro, Jacob Beira. It's Andro, Jacuna, non, Joshi, Tofutu, Tofuto Mahori, way in and out. Tanto Mahori, me, Pujana, commanding, or Texo, and there. Go on, no, boss. O justice, o sima, shasha, no, I'm wrong. Mara, te. Mo que vive todo si van bo.
Yeah.
Ongo, pero tiene que jugar. Nende hazone, donde nende nende, vamos a decir, where the deep arapa.
Yeah.
Hasta que tú le dimos yo, ongo, pero tiene que jugar.
Are you ready to shape your future and make a difference through education? At Sunshine Private College, we are committed to providing exceptional tertiary education that's flexible, accessible, and tailored to your goals. We say education first. Our programs are accredited by the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, and registered with the Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Enrollment for August 2026 is now open. Choose from Postgraduate Diploma in Education Secondary, 1 year Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Junior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Senior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Diploma in Early Childhood Development in Junior Primary Education, 3 years Level 6, Study Full Time or Via Distance Learning, Block Release. You choose what works for you. Call us today at 061-22-1805 or 081-288-5258 for more details. Sunshine Private College, not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
Alright, tate kwezi tungonge kone.
So kwete tiheri, kasi nambuzi. Inde ya muka fumbiko mkweli. Okuchara, sometimes antu, I don't know what happened na. Mara okuchara, tiboli mwantu, ontohefe rwaita umawa wemos. Ya? Kasi wete shito putuza, to putuza nga ukare A, B, C, D, you are ignorant. Mende like that. So, anto tayo kwa serai tomo e, mango asi, yezu matali kufumbi. Yone e, kufumbi kwa tati nga iye, unto kwezi, kwa mama manya, wadu kwa mama manya, hiyo nito kwa mbo. Taka fumbi kwa nga aku ya kuna onde kodo ina kurubi.
Yeah.
Opaka buruga nombiri, onde kwa hivyo tomfumbi kwa mama manya kare manaji.
Yeah.
Muno ne takara muna jina fufu kwa ina kukani na kufu.
Nandina fufu kwa ne muno, ndi tanditinga a kwa nezimu na etupenga, te okume na temba tuakara nae, o shikengane, oka memorial angane.
Aye.
Na hara.
Aye.
Haka ninga kwa ambu.
Shiko teka kuchopu na shike?
Kapunasha?
Ni kapo na shata de kuro ta nginya. Oto ta anti na hara.
Na hara.
Ni kapo no. Kapo na sha. Shirongere tanti no ne ne ma hara ko organizing o memory ni.
Oto hara.
Ngwi na hara ngawo.
Kwa nezimo.
Kwa nezimo jengo na tema.
Kwa nezimo.
Simbori mwe onto wezimo. When the family decided that the Guru Society, you people, and Umahara and Omuche, I am to sit at Aranae or Sihatum the Puja,
yeah,
that I just made the more Jane in Imechachang. It's okay. No, we could see that all better than Nimo meets the Denimo.
Yeah. What is it?
Ah, the Damas are right to my animals. So, Conimaneo, Yeda Sibiapo. Is the mother taking off or responsibility? They know what to do.
Mm.
What is going to happen?
The family will come and get their person.
The person belongs to the family. So, it's unfortunate, I mean.
Mm.
You were denied that opportunity.
Yeah.
Mara shuva kwa shesi kucha, no. Ntugwezi mtuke shiweli.
Mm.
Ntugwa bida uvinyaya. Nengu mkwao?
Waa, eh. Kesho mkwetu wa.
Ntugwe shimpe ni. Kwa asha kuhiga mbo.
Yeah.
Ntugwe.
Yeah.
Inomona. Inomona.
Mm.
Mwana mende, pesi mwende ya po hozo hii alinga hapo mbaramosu.
Ya.
Temono ngote sisha anare kucha.
Hmm.
Kateguru. Kengo tashi ya ne po pini maneyo, yu kwa niwa na ndionwezi mwa jia wa hali ipo po.
Ya.
Nenda noga tocho wako kanwa. Wakara ukara mfo ndoka shona.
Ya.
Tara, unkwa niro kwe ringwe kuko kani.
Hmm.
So that's what is happening here. Kucha in the main way. We never ever kucha on the wazim.
Yeah.
Go ahead, we are negotiating. Kuchara, ino ningiro omali vida kusina. Ongele si wakara kukararo libera ra uche, toferende anje, tokara na ombra nengo diyo miro ngonda tu. Asoshe kupuse mba ukereme unashipa. Kwede ujoma imo nontuku mwimu nota. Magie nosa anano akukano kumpiro ngondo takata konjero nzimba.
Yeah.
Sima que calche, un cueto. Tu hueto. Ay, entonces, hueta, tantita, fue como. So, es más,
Un tu huesimo. Yeah.
You must speak the zimo, what the zimo is saying.
Yeah. And it's not your zimo.
Un tu hueso por canara, andere, yo soy a la arte a mí. Tago y nega, no sane, guaje, nagafme, nagaji, tate. Onsane, kuku hoka nara.
Only.
De kara andoasi. Onsane, kishi goe. Nengu kaske shi goe.
Yeah.
Ngengo wakara no ato taguruka. Chosho wete, ngengo wa adiko en hoka na simbolimwe. kunanga aka element angika kokucha at least
munanga icha yasha
especially ngira ndoto ti ngengoro sana ngwa hokana mo for instance ilumbulishi haikupe anoiko a writer
yeah
ya un mentu non pinta eso en un bosque que pues
yeah
marangwa sitara kucha abambohati ando tenangwe ando ne
mhm
okati con un mentu pintu ngwa hokana ngwa
ngwa hokana nje
un mentu e hokana
yeah
Yo se voy a testear a Nango Takutua, un momento tax y pojenaina. Ya, huéteco. Testinguin. Güey, eso se voy a tener con la jombora. Bueno, que con cada otro burgusa cuete a cundir. Huéteco, ni estaban, dice, no con cunda, güey, ni en polla, otro y si pomos. Estoy acá, esto. Yo se voy a te escucha. Coñada, si morimos, cucardingere o casi.
Yeah.
Es mandi ali kalina usemba con kugadim kashona nga. Intenso o funerare y me nanta funko apeni tanga. Dashi y me yo pasako.
Yeah.
This is the family.
Yeah.
Maro no mento. Ando sa nasa. Nda no kugadza te chaenga sa ne wata. Hey, hey. Yes. Ahí, y choburu. Ahí, indica, yo se te tengo toda para ingo beta zirumbu. ¿Me digo? Ingo toda para ingo beta zirumbu. Oto, ingo topit. Naranguera, toda para ingo beta, le tendré cucho, esto, está te curro. Un cadí con una nana, le lucen, va a escuchar, en gansane, guay, upango sane. Escuchar, en gansane, guay, ye. Pasane, paife, nengo, guay, muy. ¿Usted? Daría un buitiné. Voto a la pierna de un huevo, güey. Ganas de coja, mongo. Pues chaye. Gasa, no te podemos vender. Sí. Podemos vender. Ay, punto que está seguro. Que si güey. Son Dios.
He saved his own family.
Ya, ngue wala pongane. Depending on the family, na son y caeri. Understand that boranishike. Marini maneo, yo ma sonushike. Eye.
No one really understands me, so no one understands that. Que humo guana naro handbriga?
Una handbriga, un guan guaya, un guan tuita la cucha. Una gautenba, una no handbriga.
Que humo guana naro handbriga, that.
Yeah.
Capuna ambato guvi, koshi jai. Unenenga engel, mwakala na eneo mamvula, hega changao. O lenguale la kanjia kucha, ando kwale aha kukukukana, ando kukukana.
No.
Shwa tashikumwe ni kesho manga.
No togwa jahare kuhokani.
Ando kukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukuk
Turun bagi saya, gua kata ini dia kan. On tunggu apa jaga hari ku kokane, anda ku kokane. The fact that we have been together, it doesn't make it correct. Sasa anda ku tak kucara, wajah noho society itu si, gesine mesti si nama lah kita di mu, mu kacawa canggih no humble. Macam aye, ino teku roga ni, ino silumku roga ni dia sini.
Yeah.
Oke ne tu tu pukuru nango shishiki wote go anga ngweta abai nako cho shishi shishi ya kisi ya chini mba le fete asho ete wazo wame te okarele nengo sani mbata ara ukuna
ya
mbwa onteke
ya straight
na mwana mingi ndia Kosa ni alu namba la piti sana.
Eh.
Ni tali ya la ti ta 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 ata kwa to kwa pumba. Tori ni. Poi mo kwa wende ino kwa kanu poi makuna po no kana.
Oh, kanga kanga. Ni tali
ya ti ta. Ajiri kwa. Na no kwa hara ni na ezi mo li gayo limos. O limos ayi.
Ano limosa hiki?
Ama pakala na hiki. Kwa tate kuru. And
Girl, how can Tanela put a village out?
And the questioning?
And the questioning. Oh, quite the catilogi kidam volataya. Tatu shi tangin.
Tatu shi tangin.
Eh. Yea, ikapu nom bank. Ikinetu lom guera noho. No quina shi ningwara.
Star, oh, meme out of there. Social aid in the weapon or society. Take promo, take e proper. In Bambi, a piramenago, or they promote. Single mother. Oh, cohabitation, and why am I advocate? Ujanman and Ningiroveta. Now I carry the Gurura. He passed the name of man.
Make it a mi hokana. Unjilo, why in healing now?
Yo kaninike ano anike mha ku karapwa mama ina hago
eh
isa ano ne ina khara kuifukana taife yota amano kucha eno antata vuru kuifukana ndo ta vuru kuifukana ka puno khe kona no shikina vali kumange itara i poro poro iki wete go sase pangere de tu itari promota ni ni non siguro karanga sitaguti I think what the okay. So I use them, but I am to naiotic, Eva Taidotic. Anna go protecting Eva. Boss told Ragototi, I am not going to Hokan. Massa will be Hokan. Apuno, he won a capanana prun, Chapunara, friend. Mara, what in Bakucha? Unkundungu. Wait a go. Was it tinga? Ezim wo affecting abata an ona kuba chashi bai bandu mota ko kan edin fano mu benduga edin mu fereta edin maka basu
yeah
mara natango kambo kan ja ofi kene gumbo
yeah
edin mu ja ko bai bish da kwango dosu ko na no kwango no chae this is my wife oh what's for dinner
ngini
Guinea.
No, Guinea.
Onitatambiwako.
Onitatambiwako. Hino kwa ye te kuharela, so te kuharela line.
Aye, kachiku cho kuharela.
Nga, so te kuharela ne line anoho.
Okay, mbae nkharela line osho, maata tutine, inti natambiwako kakuna, omazuminaga extending, a vali nge zumina litambo, ntumezi mokucha, taife, you too, omulipamba. Kucho hansi peni kucha umachangi ni inatumuli kwa zili inatumutura kumwe. Sezimo jojo, ushinga kwa sezimo jojo hariko kanisandu. Ini nambia hana lombo ila sana anu wako ongereka yaka, ongereka ya hiko kanisandu. Ongereka ya hiko kanisandu. Ushimashi kwa kanisandu, ezimo, omazimo ongege ligajo wako kanisandu. Sasho hako atamba, nakego noe hatamba kangweta chake. No sé cómo es. Es un no de enfoco que con ahora. Sí, sí, nada. So, mara, tú te andó un greca así de enfoco, ahí dijo que, ah, está jugando con greca. Greca dijo que no sabe. Greca dijo que no sabe. Puta, te curó un greca con mi ojo, ojo, y tiene dinero, con un capo, no hay ojo. A no ser que se
llame.
Es yo, familia, o familia, chiqui.
Ya.
Me están llevando, si tú dices. Me están llevando, jalio, allí jugando. Hano kwa hoka na petangere. Hoka na petangere pangari sa mga soji. Hano kwa ni soji.
Hoka na petangere?
So siete ti. Otoka nga sa mga petangere. Desa nga gabi ni problema wi.
Petangere li lipin.
Where is the government?
Eh.
Snod de. Opa olimpo no. Hano kwa horenje. No, what was it? Kukolike. Kukolike. Ay, bueno, de, anto que acaba bajar antes de cujo arenguín. Y ojayo de cujo canis. Me su canal de caíste. Voy a bajar cucu y si me quedan anto. Y nada, jarera ya aran tu guay. ¿Uo? Y me llara cuando hay mujo canisire y hay muturire como es. tanto hae ye mutura kumwe natuwa natushudhi kwa iki e tangeli ya liku kanifundu ngeregi ya kanifundu jono wa shidi wene
mchitura
wete choto wete gemu ne problem ihamuike pangeloka taifu amu zopo ne tangakamu di tamu tamti minikira kuruntuma magumbogao anuwa shitachani karo shitei
shiri
Nenga anuwa kuchaye, paifu ntune mwene we mbrasipo, ye, ya nota kutiwa anuwa ye, egumbo nali, mwoteko. Jota niko wane Simon.
Simon
natango tasipo. Nomwa atike mwako kana kunange sarakizu matali chayi, ndeni. Kalishe mboja Simon ini. Amo matadari wa. Kaya mbojo sana wani. Sana wani. Warombo wane uchiye. Tukangu ya heka tuishite.
Tika tuishi, no? Maare
pangeru. Maare pangeru ya kala kuanda maingo shirinjo.
Na iliu.
Ya, no. Ye familia wa familia iti tate. Te. Tika tuishinjo kanawa. Kuteko? Chasi pangeru ando. O familia ngo ya ti. Tika tuishinjo kanawa chasi. Tate toko kanisa. Umaka kanisa ke pangeru. So. Gero zato tizi se family thing. Zato tizi se tira tunji. Paise pangero toka simi ni gira ando. Ndoto tizi, ah ye, no rikara un zapo yukana. Okune zapo yukana. Ezi mojo jen hukaniza. Oh. Ankata nsindi lantu konguzi kwa shan.
No man. Ewa neta te kweli.
No shiri.
No.
Ewa neta te kweli. Tasi, otuno problema.
Mosa saet. Yeah.
Anda ahokan so ki pangir. Maro isu di takon kere kai nasa ni pangir ka.
Yeah.
Ezimo kalisi shake. Zimo kalisi. Kaya si pangir ng oji yahara ne di samendigo si masono.
Yeah.
Di pangir o dali si. No, ngengo to ahokan ike pangir. O una ku mintinge di ku amenda ezimo.
Yeah.
Kero no pu eno kukara. Ah, no kalisi.
Yeah. Ngerungu mwambu.
Ngerungu mwambu. Ngere kasi mwambu tukura wakara weni. Kone problema.
Yeah.
No roboro unu kufuta. Unu kufuta reboranzi hai pura toka yongo beanto.
Yeah.
No matemo ngezo toka ni matemo ni kwa shikini maikende ipuro kezimo.
Yeah.
Kweteko. Ongere kana wango mo ije taikai. Unto kwane kongaro wetungono. Seke kongaro orikuwa menda atupuranga.
Atupurangi.
E pangero ne ocho ne jejina kukara. Ya turapo, that modality. Opone, no, ondu mwono kwa hukana. Chashisha hukana, eh, requirement that they need this more than meeting. No, don't. Unelele zimu. Chashisha ngereka nao. Eteko. Onu tukeshiguo ngereka. Tukeshiguo pangeru ndo wezimu. So, o requirement that they need this more than meeting. Paifo tankacho ntuka mwishingi.
Aww. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I think Tatekwethi's 1 hour did finish. Mara, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can still call in. So we're talking about moving on. But before that, before we finish off with the elements, right, we are jumping into the mom problems. And then we're going to take it from there. So we as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership of this clip. We are strictly using it for learning purposes. Nature me.
Related with your mother, or the way your mother related to you. Well, hello there, and welcome to this episode of The Terry Cole Show. Do you ever wonder if the relationship that you have with your mother, or like your mother figure, we'll say, because it doesn't have to be a biological mother, of course, whoever raised you, have you ever wondered if that relationship is normal, right? Quote unquote. Are you curious as to how the way you related with your mother, or the way your mother related to you, more accurately, in childhood, how that has impacted you as an adult? Because mother-daughter relationships can really be complicated, and in this episode, that is what I'm going to be covering. I'm going to be breaking down 7 different types of dynamics that I've seen in my almost 30 years as a clinician, plus the lasting impact that each one of these types can have on your adult relationships. And, you know, obviously there's things that we can do to change that, but the most important thing, what we're going to be doing today, is identifying that. So, the types of mothers and the emotional impact they have. Now, I get questions like this all the time about, in my community and in my courses, women struggling in their relationships with their mothers, even as adults. So there can be a lot of shame, guilt, and longing associated. If you have dissatisfaction, or if you are disconnected, right, from this primal relationship, it's a primary relationship, it really is in our lives, whether it's bad or whether it's good, whether it's harmful or whether it's helpful. This is one of the reasons it's so important for us to process and understand what our maternal experience was growing up, to honor the feelings and the experiences, no matter what they might have been. And I think that right away, we start with the societal pressure around mothers and around if you had a problematic mother, how so much of the time, listen, this is not new. We hear this. People go, hello, you only have one mother. Now, if you have a mean, narcissistic, unwell, addicted mother, and someone says you only have one mother, you think to yourself, thank Christ that there isn't two. And you can't say that sometimes, you know. So it's also important that it doesn't have to be your biological mother. So let's just get that out of there right now, right? You could have been raised by an older sibling. You could have been raised by your grandmother. And what matters is the dynamic between you, how that person treated you, right? Sometimes I say maternal impactor, but it's really mother or mother figure. And you know who that is, the person who was the influenced you in that way. And there's tons of different ways that these relationships can play out, right? In all kinds of different mothers. Think about your friends growing up. And didn't each and every one of them have a different experience? Mine definitely did. What I hope for you in this episode is you learning about the archetypes that I've seen can help you understand how it may have impacted you and how it may be impacting you right now in your adult life. First archetype is the role reversal, where if you assumed the role, sort of the mother role or the maternal role for your mother, at a young age. Maybe you did it for younger siblings, right? So this could be your primary dynamic. So it's really being parentified is what we would call it therapeutically. And it is extremely painful when this happens because it can create this like deep fear of abandonment wound, which manifests in adulthood as really like a never-ending seeking of safety in relationships and a desire to control outcomes and feeling states of other people. A lot of HFCs, high-functioning codependents, have had this experience in childhood, right? Codependency can really be fueled by this role reversal dynamic. And another thing that it does, if you were parentified, you were also scanning rooms, right? So you may be very dialed into the people in your life. You might be very empathic. You might be very understanding. Like you might be really attuned to others the way your mother may not have been for you. So a lot of times these dysfunctional experiences that we have in their own ways create superpowers within us of like what we can actually do in the world and the way that we relate to other people. This extra empathicness, this highly sensitive nature that we may have if we were parentified, you know, we need healthy boundaries for it to really be a superpower, right? Because I was like an empath without boundaries in my 20s. And as much as, you know, people appreciated my empathic nature, it was incredibly exhausting and bandwidth draining for me. I feel like with parentified daughters, though, it can be really hard to take care of themselves in a real way, right? Struggling with self-compassion, struggling to build real self-consideration or self-love, because again, these are all strategies for survival, right? If you became a parentified child, you did it because there was a need for you to do it. So these survival strategies, again, every single one of them, you know, they're adaptive until they're not. So they maybe worked really well to keep you safer than you would have been in your childhood. But then it turns into all this overfunctioning in adulthood that's absolutely exhausting and most of the time not even sustainable forever and ever because it's too tiring. All right. The second archetype is where there was hot and cold. So was your mother someone that you, who didn't herself have a lot of emotional self-regulation? So this could look like erratic behavior. It could look like excessive emotions that affected her ability to be consistent in her mothering, right? If there's, you know, anger, anxiety, depression, sort of the up and down of it all growing up, you may have had the experience of never knowing what you were going to get. And again, you want to talk about what flexes the hypervigilance muscle in a kid having an erratic parent. Absolutely. And mother in particular. So the unpredictability of this mother type really creates this chaotic home experience, right? It's so stressful when you don't know. And, you know, there's studies, and I can't remember the name, what the study was right now, other than saying if a child is in a relationship where the parent is consistently neglectful or abusive, let's say, there's no hope for it being different, right? So in a way, on your nervous system, even though that's awful for a child, but it's not as taxing as not knowing what you're going to get, because there's this hope that you're going to get the good one. You know what I mean? It just creates all this adaptability in kids. That said, you may have difficulty yourself if you had an erratic mother emotionally with bad not healthy self-regulation. You may have difficulty managing your own emotions, right? Because you didn't have a good role model to show you how to do it. And we're also missing co-regulation there. So you yourself might be overwhelmed by anger or anxiety or depression because no one taught you how to do it. When you think about what a mother in particular, I mean, fathers too should help children co-regulate. But for if the mother is the primary connection to the child, they're supposed to be co-regulating with you, meaning when you're upset, they don't get doubly upset, right? They are the calm to your upsetness. And it's how we learn how to do it, is from them. So if you had an erratic mother, a hot and cold mother, you probably didn't learn how to do it. And there was no modeled behavior. The next archetype is the self-focused or the self-obsessed mother. So this mother usually, I mean, a lot of times there can be a narcissistic element here where the mother does not see the children separate from herself. Rather, she sees the kids as an extension of herself. And I'm not talking about just regular self-absorption. We're talking about it to the extreme. So the family will organize around the self-obsessed parent, right? Rather than around the children. So we know this, I've talked about this before, that in healthy family systems, the system appropriately organizes around the well-being of the children. When you have a self-focused or self-obsessed mother, the system organizes around that person. And when you are the child of a self-obsessed mother, you learn that it's not your place to, you know, shining is for other people, right? Nobody's throwing you a parade for what you're doing, right? Instead, your job becomes to lift the parent up. And this is how we learn to manage other people in our lives. We learn. We are not in our own experience. We are externally focused on making sure that they feel good about themselves. A lot of times you end up being a loyal supporter in your grown-up life of other people, and that you are like the in the front row cheering other people on. You might also be a great problem solver because you probably weren't getting help, right? And your friends might seek advice from you if you were someone who had a self-obsessed mother, because you're really good at figuring stuff out, because you figured out how to stay out of the line of fire there. So the fourth archetype is the mother as bestie. So if your mother saw yourself as her best friend, and hey, I'm not saying that we can't have loving and friendly, like I have a super devoted relationship with my mom, who's almost 89, but I wouldn't say that she was my best friend, because the things that I talk about with my best friend, for me, will never be appropriate for me to talk about with my mother. So when you think about what friends talk about, would I want my mother talking to me about sex with my father? I would not. I really wouldn't. It creates this imbalance too, when there's sort of a mutuality where your mother is sort of wants to hang out with your friends or like treat you, you know, have inappropriate conversations with you, this kind of mother-daughter dynamic itself, this creates disordered boundaries for sure, that we just can carry them into our adult lives. And when you have a mother who wants to be your best friend and sees herself that way, it can make the differentiating, right, the separating and differentiating process even harder, right? Because there can be this fear of rejecting your mother, where a lot of times when kids are, you get to be teenage years, right? Why do you think that people always talk about teenagers being so sassy or, you know, getting into trouble or acting out? You know, when we look at it from a developmental point of view, it's looked at as separating and individuating, right? This is how we become our own people, is that we separate and individuate. But if you have a mother who doesn't really parent as much, right? Because the mother is bestie. It's a burden. And you might feel neglected by her because you're not equals, right? You're the child. And in a healthy mother-daughter union, you're not worried about that, right? Because if she's your friend, you have to consider her as much as she's considering you. And the reality is children should not be considering parents as much as parents should most definitely be considering children. Okay, the fifth archetype is the perfectionist, and this is the very controlling mother, fearful, hypercritical, anxious. And they can be anxious of them, all of those things about themselves and about their children, right? So having a perfectionist mother is very painful, right? Because you end up feeling like you can never get it right. We all know if you are a recovering perfectionist, how painful it really is to have a standard that is so high that you can't even meet your own standards. And when you have a mother who's a perfectionist, nothing was ever good enough, right? And you might just bring that directly into your life now. Because think about what perfectionism does for us. It sucks the joy out of our experiences, right? Something that goes 98% amazing, but you can't stop focusing on the 2% that didn't go exactly the way you wanted it to go. That absolutely sucks. It makes you not enjoy the 98% that went great. So listen, perfectionism, there's also the flip side, which is a lot of times when you're a perfectionist, all right, I'll give you props. You actually really do know how to get stuff done, right? You are reliable and responsible and in your relationships and at work, and those are good things. But I think that it's important that we make the distinction between perfectionism and striving for excellence, because they're not the same thing. And striving for excellence is a great way to be. But when you're raised by a perfectionistic mother, a lot of times she ends up passing down that ailment to you, and you end up living it in your life. And number six is the good enough mother. So this is the mother who knows that she doesn't have to be perfect for her kids to thrive and be resilient, right? The kind of mother who clearly is the parent, doesn't need anything from her kids besides respect and the connection that they have, right? So kids are free to be themselves if you have a mother who knows that it's the showing up part that matters. So she isn't perfect, but she does not burden you with her emotions, right? She knows how to regulate herself. There's a balance with a good enough mother where she understands what her role is and that she prioritizes the kids in an appropriate way, but she's not looking to the kids to fulfill her needs, right? She's getting that elsewhere with her friends or in her marriage or wherever it is. But if you grew up with this type of mother, you're blessed because there was room for you and space for you to grow and for you to change and be your own person and to explore and to make mistakes. There is an inner sense of safety and security if you have a secure attachment with this type of mother. I do myself. I feel, you know, that I was blessed to have. Many of you know I have a father wound, but my mother was that type of mother who knew how to do it. And I don't know how. She knew how to do it. She was had four daughters under the age of six by the time she was 26, like, and with no help at all, right? This was very like 1950s marriage where she did absolutely everything and there wouldn't even be a thought of having a nanny, or maybe we'd have a babysitter once in a while, but it was all on her. And yet she was able to see us all as separate beings and that we didn't need to perform for her necessarily. And so anyway, I put that archetype in because here's the thing. There's a theory about good enough mothering. Oh my God, who was it? And I can't even think of who created the theory so long ago. Who was it? Oh, this is menopause, people. You have no brain cells, but anyway. And it's really showing up and that love, just really loving your kids. You can make mistakes. The kids are super resilient. That showing up and safety, creating safety for children, went so much further than, you know, the perfect white picket fence or the perfect diorama at the science fair. You know what I mean? It really is about, do kids feel emotionally safe? And that's really what, you know, secure attachment makes you feel, that you can be yourself and you can make mistakes and that there's still a place for you with your mother. Okay. And the last type is the rejecting or unavailable mother. And this is someone who, a mother who couldn't meet your needs. So your physical, emotional needs as a kid, you might have grown up feeling rejected, feeling unloved. I was just watching something the other day about a famous artist who passed away that my husband knew because she had been a teacher of his at Parsons. And she did these amazing, huge paintings for years, like so motivated artistically. And she had a mentor and she said, yeah, we met each other because we both realized that our mothers didn't like us. And I think that that is more common than you, the rejecting mother is more common than you may think. And I was reading about Eleanor Roosevelt and how she had a very rejecting mother. As I was doing the mother wound course, which I'll tell you about in a minute, and that to sort of goof on her, the mother and the grandmother used to call her granny because they felt like she looked like an old lady and wasn't pretty. Eleanor Roosevelt, who went on to do the most incredible like feats in the world, being a woman during a time where it was just unbelievable what she was able to accomplish. And she did all of that despite having a rejecting mother. But these early attachments, why are we talking about mother wounds? Well, part of it is you asked me to. Another part is that soon I am going to be teaching live my mother wound course. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But these early attachment experiences really impact how we relate in our relationships and how we relate to ourselves. So you may have always known something was sort of off in your relationship with your mother. In the guide, I'm giving you a bunch of things that you can check out about these archetypes. So if you want to more sort of fully explore where you might fall into this, if you want to go deeper in this, I invite you to look at Understanding and Healing the Mother Wound course, which is starting soon. And for this course, this is literally the step-by-step process that you need to heal your mother wound, whatever the mother wound actually is. So
today we're going to be talking about the daughters of passive, emotionally unavailable mothers. If you love this content, please don't forget to click the subscribe button and the notification bell. This way, every time I upload a new video, you dear one will be the first to know. So today we're talking about the consequences of being raised by a mom who's passive and who is essentially emotionally unavailable. If you grew up with a passive, emotionally unavailable mom, chances are you might be secretly angry. Chances are you might feel like you suffer with self-esteem issues. You suffer with self-worth issues. You suffer perhaps with perfectionism. You may suffer with imposter syndrome. You may be someone who is codependent, who is taking on people pleaser tendencies, trying to feel good enough, trying to figure out how to avoid abandonment and rejection. When you have a passive, unavailable mom, chances are there's trauma in her background that is unresolved. Passive mothers are those who cater to the moods of their husbands, for instance. These are moms who think that things are just going to work out. They're moms who tend to have rose-colored glasses on and who ignore the stuff that we should be talking about as a family. They are often women who were raised by alcoholic fathers and or mothers. They grew up feeling like their feelings didn't matter. They grew up feeling like the best thing for them to do was to just be quiet. They grew up feeling like if they opened their mouth and they spoke about something that was significant, there was a chance that there would be some trauma or drama when that happened. So mothers who grew up and become passive and emotionally unavailable are really stuck in time. They are wounded inner children that have never done any emotional recovery work, and they've learned that it makes sense to be helpless. Like, they don't have the life skills to be able to set a boundary. They don't have the life skills to speak their truth. So if you grew up with a passive, emotionally unavailable mom, then you grew up as an adult daughter watching your mom cater to the moods of your dad. You watched your mom cater to a man that was difficult to please.
Egameno jomau yerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kadhiwa pa uteknika, oliriwa omkundu wa pashigwana, upsa kadhiwa paliko, no hashivuro oku ya moshipara, uhupiro uongeshefa. Washini momtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition na umvo mao vigaje miongo mbalina hamano, ii kondo e pangero wa mahangano wa umwene, uu ministeri we pangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa, muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete tekero. Esi kwa mirongo mbali naga ali, si kwa mbali naga nega apiriri, mawavigali mirongo mbali naga mano, ekaro kwa R.M. Bush Travel Lodge, Movenduka. Oshi parashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga uko shoki wopo ungomba, ano saiba hejin, kene una okuironge kithira o mashongo wako marungura, no marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na irwe inji. Koneka, o mahangano o handimwe ni kondo, mbokata mkatu uma a kaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano, otamukape wa ompi pito yom tugumwe awedhu wapo. Hasho ashikeshoka. Pethimbo yom tumba ugo tungoka. Otaku kakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dina. Nuyere lounji wa maisha angithono mapura apuro. Kwa tatha na nayo. Konraje tatu imwe. Onda tuyatano. Omgo ijeali. Nenge ko email. info@dstech.com.na. Nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba. Ko www.dstech.com.na. Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition, Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Lots of the cases. It isn't always this way, but across the board, this is generally what happens if you grew up in this dynamic. If you grew up with a mom who believed that her mood really did depend on the mood of other people, in other words, it was her job to regulate her husband. You watched your mom fall all over herself trying to please someone who was impossible to please. And you grew up feeling very invisible because of that. So mom wasn't emotionally available for you. And if you had anything negative to say about your dad, she quickly shut you down. This is what emotionally unavailable mothers teach us. They teach us that it makes no sense to complain. So how that manifests in our life, in our relationships, is we struggle with boundaries. We struggle with, should I talk about this? Should I address this with my husband? Should I actually bring this up with my kids? Should I talk about this with my boss? Should I talk about this with my coworker? We sort of get this sense, and we're not even aware that we feel this way, that maybe we just shouldn't say anything about it. We've learned by watching our passive, emotionally unavailable moms that it really doesn't make much sense to like bring something up because nothing ever gets resolved. And this becomes embedded in us, and now we don't have the life skills to resolve issues. And it's even deeper than that, because if our mothers aren't attuned to what they're feeling, and our mothers aren't teaching us how to speak up, and if our mothers remain externally focused, catering to our fathers, then they are teaching us to do the same. And so we have no one modeling for us how to tune in to the divine self, how to have an authentic conversation with the self. If our mothers aren't attuned to their authentic self, there is no way they can help us attune to our authentic self. So we end up feeling like it makes no sense to address problems, and we don't have any life skills to address them, even if we were able to identify them. Many emotionally unavailable moms who are very passive and don't want to kick up the dust and don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. One of the things that we heard growing up is you just need to be more patient. Our mothers were martyrs. Our mothers were stoic. Our mothers stuffed their emotions, and they didn't know what to do with us when we had emotions, when we cried, when we were frustrated, when we thought that dad was being unacceptably cruel, or dad was saying something to mom that we thought he should have never said. And we speak up on behalf of our moms. Our moms quickly shut us down because they don't want to upset dad. So this passivity in mom teaches us that it makes no sense to like speak up. It frustrates us. We end up stuffing our emotions of frustration because it can't go anywhere. Mom's not listening. Mom then teaches us that it's our fault. We should just be more patient, that we're too much. We expect too much. And that if we're just a little bit more patient with the people in our lives, then things will just magically work out. But they never magically work out. Our problems go underground. They become emotionally embedded in our emotional bodies. It messes with the way that we feel and the way that we think. And we have all of these emotions that our passive mothers really haven't learned to allow and actually prevented us from actually feeling and expressing as their daughters. We watched our mothers adapt to insanity. We watched our mothers mitigate their emotions for the sake of our fathers who were rigid, for the sake of our fathers who may have been cruel, for the sake of our fathers who were domineering. So as their daughter, we're watching mom just mitigate and adapt. And that teaches us that we should do the same thing. And so when we grow up, we have this high tolerance for nonsense within relationships that we shouldn't have. But it's our programming. This is literally what mom has taught us to do. And there's this internal conflict because we have this abandonment wound from mom and oftentimes even from dad. And so we're in a relationship. We don't want to lose that attachment. And the only coping strategy we have is to simply adapt. We end up stuffing our emotions, becoming passive ourselves inside relationship dynamics and doing exactly what our mother did, which was adapt to insanity. We were also downloaded to sort of like feel like a victim. In other words, like our mothers were, or at least appeared to be, victims of circumstance. They weren't women that took control. They weren't women that said, I'm not tolerating this. They were not women that set boundaries. They were women that were very dependent, very codependent, and also tolerated things that they should not tolerate. And so the feeling that we get as their daughters is that we are unable to make a change in our life. We don't know how to set a boundary because mom never taught us how to make a boundary. And even though we might be angry growing up and seeing this behavior, and even as a young adult daughter, and even as an older adult daughter, we could like have this anger that mom never got out of that relationship, but it becomes part of our subconscious mind. It becomes part of our neural wiring. It becomes part of the way we relate to other people. It becomes our relationship model. And so we find ourselves in relationships feeling very much like we are at the tail at this end of someone else's kite. We are being pushed around by the needs, the moods, the wants, and the demands, the opinions of other people. And we, below the veil of consciousness, don't even realize that we also are at least behaving in the 3D world like we can't set a boundary, or like we are being controlled by circumstances that are outside our control. I remember feeling, well, having this awareness after my divorce, because people would say to me, if you were that unhappy, why didn't you leave? And they were right. I was so unhappy. It was like at my wedding, I was like, I just made a huge mistake. Before I walked down the aisle, I was like, I think I'm making a mistake. But when you have a passive mom who has ignored your feelings and who has told you that you're too much and she just didn't want you to rock the boat to upset your dad or her husband, you doubt yourself. So when spirit and your divine self says, oh, Lisa, I don't know if you should do this. This is a red flag. Like, this is a no for me, or definitely like maybe not. Like, you don't know how to honor that because you don't have the confidence in the self, because mom really never gave you the confidence to believe in the self, yourself personally, nor did mom mirror that you have the right to listen to yourself and be yourself. So when those feelings came up, I just swatted them down. I couldn't look at them. They were too scary. it would have taken tremendous self-confidence for me to be able to say, this is what I think, this is what I feel, I need to hit the pause button, or you know what, I made a mistake and we should end this now before we make it worse. I didn't do it. I very much felt like once I was married, I was stuck. It never even crossed my mind that I didn't have to stay. And that's super, super sad to me that there are adult daughters out there of passive, emotionally unavailable moms that feel the same way. Like they really feel like I can't move. I can't get a job. I can't leave. I can't end the marriage. I have young children. I can't. I mean, that was my mindset. And the reality is that for me, at least, that I could have left. It would have been incredibly difficult to leave, but I could have left. My feet weren't stapled to the ground. And ultimately, when I did leave after this terrible, terrible breakdown in our marriage, and both of us became people neither one of us could recognize, that is when I was forced to realize that I actually could get out. I actually could advocate for myself, which is something that my mother never taught me to do. Emotionally unavailable, passive moms do it by default. They attune themselves to other people. And so as children, we're watching our mothers attune themselves to our dads or attune themselves to the needs of other people. So we're actually, our model for the self is someone who is externally focused. It could be the job. It could be someone at work. It could be the neighbor next door. But what we see is continually a mother who is not in her own power. We see a mother who thinks that it's her responsibility to cater to the needs of other people. We see moms whose mood is dependent upon the mood of their husband, or whose mood fluctuates depending on who she's interacting with. Another thing that we deal with as daughters of passive, emotionally unavailable moms is that they can often be jealous of us as we age. And so if we have friends and we start to go out, that freedom is a trigger for a passive, emotionally unavailable mom. Although she won't be able to actualize those words, she won't be able to understand what's happening in her own skin, but a mom who is really arrested emotionally and who isn't dealing with her trauma can be very triggered by the daughter in her life who is finding a life of her own, because it's something that the mom is unable to do. Mom is trapped inside her own life, or at least that's how she feels. And it's all related to her childhood. It's all related to what's in the subconscious mind. It's all related to being more subconscious than conscious and unaware of self and not understanding that life evolves as a result of a pattern. And so when you have a mom that's that arrested, she's very immature and she can struggle as her daughter begins to age, as her daughter begins to blossom, as her daughter begins to have fun and have a boyfriend and go out and have friends. And that freedom can be a trigger for her. So it can be a very tumultuous time when you have a passive, emotionally unavailable mom, when you start to age as a daughter and she will literally resent you and you will feel like your mom is jealous of you and you will feel afraid to even admit that because it doesn't make sense. And you know that people might judge you for saying that. And you know how bizarre it sounds to say, I think my mom is jealous of me. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? Like what mom is jealous of their daughter, but it happens. So if you are the adult daughter, you are a wounded adult daughter who's been raised by a passive, emotionally unavailable mom, I'm here to tell you that those of us who have the same experience totally relate to feeling like mom's jealous of us. It doesn't feel right. So our mothers behaved in the 3D world as if they had no control over their emotions. So they regulated their emotions apparently when dealing with your dad and his moods, or if it wasn't dad, it was a man in her life, or it was a significant partner in her life. So you could watch your mom turn it on and turn it off. So she knew when she could blow up and when she couldn't blow up. And so because she was regulating herself based on the moods of your dad or her partner or a significant other, what ended up happening was she can't express her anger and she can't express her rage. So she's walking around on eggshells trying to make sure everybody's okay. But what happens as the child of this passive, emotionally unavailable mom is that that rage comes out sideways. It's not uncommon for adult daughters of this type of a mom to get the wrath of that. You are the one that will suffer the consequences of her anger. No one else will be around. No one else will believe you. They won't believe that this very cute, passive, church-going, Bible-toting person who picks up stray dogs could be cruel to you. It just won't make sense to them. And you will feel very alone in your experience of your mom. And you may even struggle with your own perception of her because on the surface, she seems so passive, especially with your dad or the partner in her life. She seems so subjugating. She seems so able to adapt to this person. You may even struggle as the adult daughter with feeling sorry for her or guilty that you feel angry towards her because you know that she's not happy. We recognize that our mother's moods are really dependent upon the moods of our fathers or the moods of their partners or the moods of others. We recognize that our mothers are not emotionally here with us, that their sense of beingness, their identity, their sense of purpose is tied up in the external world. And it's certainly not tied to us. So our moms are not available for us. Another thing that a passive, emotionally unavailable mom will do is they will reward their daughters for not having a need. And so I know this happened to me. So when I did school projects by myself, when I took care of something completely on my own, whether it was like filling out forms for school, whatever it was, I was rewarded and patted on the back for doing it on my own, for not needing her. And how that shows up in our life later on as adult daughters is that we end up becoming lone wolves. We're lone wolves in business. We're lone wolves in our relationship. We take everything on and we don't know how to ask for help because we have been conditioned to think it's weak to ask for help and it's good to not need. And this gets us into trouble. So all of this programming that our mothers have modeled for us becomes our own. Even though we're not happy about it growing up, and even though as adult daughters, like of age, we can see that our mothers are still way too passive and they're not setting boundaries and we can be angry about it. But we have to take into account how this modeling has affected us and how it's manifesting in our 3D lives. One of the things that we have to be careful of as healing adult daughters of mothers like this is that because we watched our mother's mood change according to the moods of others, so she wasn't grounded. She wasn't self-confident. She didn't have self-efficacy. She wasn't self-actualized. And she didn't have a sense of self-empowerment. What ended up happening was we got the message that if something goes wrong and we're unhappy, it must be someone else's fault. And so we have to stay aware of how easy it is or how simple it is for us to develop the propensity to blame other people for why we're unhappy. And it's innocuous. It can be insidious. Like we don't see it happening. But if you are someone who feels very much affected by what's happening outside of you, and you think you have an inkling that you were raised by an emotionally unavailable, especially a passive mom, if you think this sounds like something that you were exposed to, take some time and ask yourself, like, how is this showing up in my life? Is my mood dependent upon other people? Do I expect people to invite me everywhere? Do I expect people to understand everything that I feel? Do I blame people for why I'm unhappy? I mean, it makes sense. If we have mothers whose moods depend on what's happening outside of her, we get infused with this idea that has us believing that whatever's happening inside of me is because of what's happening outside of me. And what I try to teach my adult daughters, the ones that I coach, is that no, dear one, we have to dial it back and we have to find your ability to ground yourself. We have to heal those attachments to the external world. We have to heal the wounds and the patterns and programs that are responsible for this stinking thinking. We learn that it's not good to ask for help. We learn that it's best to just rely on the self. We learn that people can't be trusted. People are not going to show up for us. We end up feeling very, very frustrated by the dynamics that have been downloaded into our subconscious minds. And we can feel very perplexed about what do we do with these feelings? What do we do with the anger that we feel towards our mother? Because we're not able to reach her. We can't get to her. We can't get her to wake up and be a part of our lives. Back in 2010, I had a routine hysterectomy, and I actually ended up having a near-death experience. So I died on the table, And it was quite the race to bring me back. And fortunately, I'm here. Any rate, the following day, it turns out that my mother and father didn't come to see me in the hospital. They didn't come for the entire week that I was there, even though I was in a medically induced coma. And when they took me out of the coma and I was able to talk on the phone with people, I remember a very painful conversation I had with my mom that really sums up what I'm trying to teach you here today as the daughter of a very passive, emotionally unavailable mother. My mother was really caught between a rock and a hard place because my dad didn't want to make the 2.5-hour trip to see me because he had a dentist appointment in the town that I lived in a week later. His theory was, if I drive in and see her today or tomorrow, then I have to drive back, and then I have to drive into New York again. I don't want to do that. The kid's okay. She's out of the coma. Hooray. What's the problem? Why do I have to go? Did my father have to come see me? No. Did my mother have to make the trip? No. Would it have been nice to? Sure. Would it have been the normal and expected thing to do for a mother to rush to the bedside of her daughter that had a near-death experience, who was a single woman who had 3 children to take care of? Wouldn't it have been normal for that to happen? Absolutely. But I knew what was up. When my mother called me, I already knew that she was struggling, that my father was giving her a hard time. And I said to her, Mom, it's totally fine if you don't come. And she said, are you sure? I said, yep. I said, I know Dad's giving you a hard time and I don't want to make it harder for you. And we both know that, you know, you're not going to go up against him anyway. So let's just make this nice and easy. You don't have to come in and I'll be fine. I'll make my way. And that's the way I left it. But I never forgot that phone call. And I don't think she ever did either, because it signified what my entire life with my mom was. My mother was unable to detach herself from my father enough to be present for her children. And there were major consequences. I would dare to say that my brother, my sister, and I have all struggled with eating disorders. We all struggled with extreme low self-esteem. We have all been very sensitive to rejection. We have all been very sensitive to what other people think about us. We have become doers. We have become people pleasers. We're very hypervigilant. And it's been a struggle to really pull myself back from that and to heal so that I can break the patterns in me and be a more present mother for my children. It took me a long time to get where I am. It took me a long time to figure this out. And I just hope that the information that I share is enough for any adult daughter out there who grew up with a passive, codependent, emotionally unavailable mom to recognize the consequences that had on you. And you have come to get in touch with your divine feminine power. It just means that we learn to celebrate our femininity. It means that we learn to celebrate the nurturer that we are in a healthy way. It means that we learn to speak our feelings and we don't have to live in fear of what a man thinks or what a man says. We don't have to live in fear of someone's criticism, especially a man's judgment. And this is super powerful because if we are mothers and we have daughters and we have sons, we're modeling relationship behaviors for them. And so the best thing that we can do is break through. The best thing that we can do is heal from the patterns and the programs in the past that have wounded us in sometimes very invisible ways, but manifest in the way that we show up in our relationships with other partners, as well as with our children. Thank you so much for being here, and I so hope this has been helpful. And if you are the adult daughter and you believe that you were raised by a passive, emotionally unavailable mother, check out the 12-week Breakthrough Coaching Program. This is an online course built for those who grew up feeling abandoned and rejected, who have developed low self-esteem, who oftentimes attract narcissistic partners in their lives, and we remain stuck there because we don't know how to set boundaries. We don't know how to think correctly. We don't know how to feel our feelings. We don't know how to speak our truth. So if you are struggling and you want to live an empowered life and you want to reclaim your voice and reclaim your identity.
And this is exactly why. Ooh. Wow. I came with such a bang. Okay. And this is exactly why we need such conversations, right? Because we need to understand the mother wound, the father wound. We need to understand the role of women. We need to understand the role of mothers. And, the reason that we need to understand these roles is because many of us are raised in single parent households. And I think that it's time for us to shift the blame card from the fathers, also giving the fair share of blame to mothers as well, because it is not only the absence of a father that can hurt a child, but it could be the presence of a parent or a mother that chose to stay that could also impact the child's perspective towards life, perspective towards relationships, and perspectives towards everything. And that is why, right, when we're talking about healing and moving on from something, we have to involve the wounds that the girl child also has with the mother. Now, if you guys understand that one, you guys have to tune your minds a little bit and say, oh, I don't really understand. And especially with mothers, I think that mothers tend to fail this one a lot, because they say that they stayed, but how much damage was done in their stay? They stay, but were they really present? They stay, but did they really choose the correct methods in raising the girl child? And I'm talking about this because we're going to uncover also the father, and we're going to uncover the boy child, but we start most with the difficult ones first, and then we move on. Now, being neutral, for example, if we're talking about this specific conversation, being neutral being the first thing that we had outlined on our memorandum today was no longer being triggered or having strong emotions or emotional reactions to something. So imagine being raised by an emotionally unavailable mother, and now you have decided that you're going to heal this wound and you're going to work on it and you are going to let it go. That looks like understanding that she is who she is. Understanding that she is who she is, and you have a choice whether you are going to be there or you're not going to be there, whether you're going to allow her close or you're not going to allow her close, whether you're going to allow her around your children, whether you're not going to allow her around your children, because you also don't want to carry on that generational trauma. So now when somebody says something like, oh, your mom is such a nice person, it doesn't affect you, it doesn't make you cringe. Or your mom is such a bad person, it doesn't affect you, it doesn't make you cringe. And that is how you know that you have reached a place of neutrality. And comparison when it comes to a mother wound, for example, would be you looking at somebody else his mother and seeing how affectionate and caring they are, and you say, I wish my mother was like that. When you come to an understanding that you had the cards that you were dealt, and you had the game of poker that you had, and there's nothing else you can change about your past, but you can always change your future in terms of the relationship that you have with parent dearest, then that is also a good start, right? With no comparison, because now you're not comparing anybody's parent to yours. You're not comparing your mother to anybody. You're not comparing. And I think that many of us compare our, especially for those that have strong personality mothers, right? Strong personality mothers. We often tend to compare them to soft personality mothers. And we think that we would have turned out different if we had softer mothers, but truth is, maybe not. Okay? Maybe not. Independence. You are enjoying. Yeah, you are enjoying your life and making and finding your new hobbies and this could be in a sense of no longer being on a chain or a leash that belongs to Mother Dearest, right? She's no longer controlling your life like a puppeteer. So she's not choosing what you're eating. She's not choosing what you're dressing. She's not, there are some mothers that are very, very, very involved. Like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Like, even a 30-year-old, yeah, I don't like that girl. Don't marry that girl. Like, those kind of controlling zalis, you understand? When you break that and you can just live your life, that's how you know that somewhere, somehow you're healing and moving on from this wound. And then self-focus. You are excited about your future and focusing on your own personal growth. Now your own personal growth is that point in your life where you get it and then you are like, you know what? I'm going to be this kind of parent and I'm going to be this kind of lover and I'm going to be this kind of mother and I'm going to be this kind of teacher and I'm going to be. And when you choose what you're going to be without the voice of your mother echoing in the background, that's how you know that slowly but surely you are moving on. And you're moving on to greater things and you're moving on to a better version of you. So this was just to highlight it. And our last two conversations or our last two talks were mainly just to put it into perspective for those that have been wondering what it is that they feel and what it is that they are going through. But we will continue our conversation. And tomorrow we talk about moving on process and what to consider. So, ladies and gentlemen, me, Nah, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. You are important to me and I say bye-bye, but it's not forever. It's only for a couple of hours. So farewell, Chomi, and Senor Mora, uns praat weer, en tot ziens. Moet niet zo bedroef lijken.